But the Lord is helping us. Hallelujah. And today we have a very anointed man in the house. Before I bring him to the pulpit, you know, when great men walk, they don't walk alone. So I saw some Love Economy heavyweights. I saw them suddenly around, circling around. I knew that, oh, the man is around. The way. Hallelujah. You want to put your hands together for Reverend Alex, Reverend Kobe, and then the Fortizo pastor. You should see his building. In fact, the two buildings, very wild. That's Reverend Eugene. Please put your hands. Oh, they didn't see you. Thank you very much. Put your hands together for them. Hallelujah. God bless you. We have two other ladies with them. God bless you. Amanda, it's good to see you. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Wow. I feel that God has come to crocro us in these few days, because the anointing that has been walking through the house is not a simple one. And the man of God who is coming up to preach, I have to say that he's a family member. He's a family member. Are you there? Yes. Yeah, he's a family member. You see, the relationships grow. Yeah. Some of you can't even be friends with one person. Yeah. Oh! Every year you have a different roommate. Before the end of the year, you have quarreled. You know, when you do that, your life is not sweet. Yeah, life is not sweet. My husband and I, we met this man of God about six, 7 years ago. 2017. Hey, we have growth. It's 8 years. About 8 years ago, and what began as just a friendship and a loving God, and we had also the same love for the same man of God, our father, Bishop Dag. What began as that has grown into what I would call a family. If I call my friends together, I'll call him. But if I call my family, I'll also call he and his wife. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I've grown to really love and respect his ministry. The Love Economy churches, as far as I'm concerned, those are our brothers. I don't know about you. What do you think? If I'm walking around and I see somebody, a person is smiling, and I'm looking, I say, this person, I'm not sure. Then I know that if it's not my church, then it's Love Economy. That's it. And then I'll ask them, the economists, and they'll say, oh, yes, 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 yes. And all over. I remember going to preach in Tamale one time in our church, and when we finished, there was this group of a few people, they came around. When I was looking at them, no, I knew that, oh, this one here is my brother's children. Are you in the house? And it's so beautiful. But today he's here because he's also a man of God, and he's also a very fruitful man of God. You know, there was something Dr. Bempa shared with us yesterday. He said, when you are just doing something, you just add. If there's no supernatural, you just add. You remember that? He said, so if you win, if God is adding, I mean, you've added one person to your church, and you've added another. He said, but when the supernatural comes, when the Holy Ghost comes, it's multiplication that happens. This man, I said, this man who is about to come and preach here, is not additional. I said, it's not addition. Oh, I'm not enjoying your clap. You are clapping like your hands are not for you. Because we are about to experience something from the multiplication man. Hey! You, when you say you are opening a branch, you are opening one. He'll be opening 25. Please, am I speaking the truth or I'm lying? Please, the people there, these are the dons of the thing. They say it's true. Yeah. You are starting one. You're 1%. I say, I start another one. Crowd also. Bishop Mike, it's a blessing to have you. I know that it's been an extremely busy year, so we don't take your presence for granted. And I just want you to know that as we are here, Charlie, we are here to... to receive and to just feel free. It's your pulpit. Whatever you want to do, do. And I know that we will be blessed. Please put your hands together. Help me. Let us bring to the pulpit the Bishop Isaac Otibwateng of the Love Economy Fraternity. I forgot to tell you that he's one of Bishop Dag's precious people. When our Father wakes up and he wants to fellowship, then he calls. There are some four people that he calls. Four non-UD people. That's one of them. I'll say.
Wow. What a blessing. All to the glory of God, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to appreciate our mother. You know, she says, I'm her friend, but I am not her friend. No. Okay, family member. Okay, so I'm your son. Uh-huh. So let's say it like that. Uh-huh. You know, mommy is a mother to me and a mother to us. We honor her, you know, and we don't play with her at all. I mean, when she's coming to our church, it's like we have to be on our best behavior. Make sure all the foolishness and all the nonsense is gone so that we can make sure everything is in order. Mommy, we love you. We cherish you. You know, mommy held my hand and took me to Bishop Dag. Yes. Mommy and daddy led me to Bishop Dag and said, this is your son who is in another corner somewhere in Kumasi. And I can tell you, the multiplied effect that mommy is talking about is just because of the connection that was made in 2019 at Sehuyosu. I didn't know that Bishop Dag had laid hands on me on that day because he held my shoulders and prayed for me. I didn't realize that he had laid hands on me, but I couldn't sleep. This man was sleeping by me. I couldn't sleep throughout the night. I was awake throughout the night. So I was wondering what had happened. And it went on for about a week or two. Yes, I couldn't sleep. I was sleeping just 2 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, like that. And I'm up, or my eyes are like this, and I'm not tired. So after about three, it was a very wild experience. After 3 months, I was watching a Gida Isop Holy Conference, and I noticed he called some Chinese people had come during that year, and he came, he told them he wants to lay hands on them, and he laid hands on their shoulders and prayed for them. I said, this is what happened to me in their place. I didn't realize. Man! And from that time, listen, we had one building. We're struggling to build another. It was conquered by the grace of God. Many buildings have come up. Our church was just about maybe 12 branches or something like that. Now we are talking about over 70 branches from that time. Yes. So, I mean, I can tell you that effect is from our Father. It's from our Father. And I want us to honor the man of God. I mean, they are men of God and they are men of God. Yeah. I love and appreciate Daddy so much. Thank you, wherever you are. Thank you for your love, your kindness. Yes, thank you for being good to me, liking me, and drawing me close. Hey, whom am I? David said, who am I or who are the people of my house? You know, it's a blessing. It's a great blessing. And I mean, the wisdom is too much. The wisdom is too much. Sometimes when I see myself sitting by him, I wonder, how did I get here? And then I remember, someone introduced me. Someone brought me close. So mommy and Bishop Bruce, I mean, we don't joke with you at all. We are where we are because you held our hands. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. If you leave me, I'll keep talking like this. I will never stop. Because I am one grateful child of God. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bishop Norte, it's good to see you. I have missed you. The whole world, you are the one I've missed. Hallelujah. It's good to see you. We couldn't be in Bulga, but we'll come in May. It's happening live to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's celebrate our bishop. You know, I see all the things that he's doing up there in the north, for being there for many, many, many years. Hey, it's not a small thing. The crusades, the meetings, the camps. Oh, Bishop, you know, the Bible says that how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about? You are a went about. I mean, you are a went about type of man of God. And I just love it. I just enjoy seeing all your... I like watching your status whenever I want to be encouraged. I go to your status and then watch. It's a blessing. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. Only you can do these things. No man can do these things. Only you. Without you, we are nothing. You are the vine, we are the branches. We bear fruit because of you in our lives. Lord, speak to us this morning in a very special way. Bring your word with great clarity. Grant us understanding. We pray especially for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us get to know Jesus some more. Yes, consume us with his knowledge. Consume us with his love. Yes, and let us be fruitful on every side. Use us to accomplish your great work in our generation. And let your glory be seen in our lives in a very special way. We receive your word with meekness, with gladness, with great joy, knowing it is our key to development on all spheres of our lives. Thank you, Father, once again, even in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, you may kindly take your seats. All protocol duly observed. Forgive me if I've not mentioned and recognized you. Thank you so much for being here. All church workers. Mommy, it's good to see you. Thank you so much. I'm seeing some faces I know and some faces I don't know. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to share on 10 facts of evangelism. 10 facts. Facts of evangelism. 10 facts of evangelism. And then tonight I'll share on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Normally, we are told to preach, but we don't know what to preach. So tonight, I'm going to share on what to preach or who to preach. Hallelujah. Is it powerful? Then if there's more time, I'll talk about shepherding as well. Hallelujah. So it will be exciting to the glory of God. So 10 facts of evangelism. We all know that Jesus has left us that responsibility of preaching the gospel to others. You know, knowledge makes all the difference. What you don't know, there is one of the reasons why you should read is so that you will get to know. What you don't know, you will not know when you grow up. If you don't read, you will never know. No matter your age. You see, some of us have parents and uncles who don't know how to use certain apps. Now AI has come. You know, and they are behind, and it's not working. You see, what you are not committed to know, you will never know. And a lack of knowledge brings you into two different things. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says that therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. So captivity, people are in prison houses, spiritually speaking, financially speaking, maritally speaking, career speaking, business speaking, just because they don't have knowledge of certain things. So you will be in captivity, happily. Yes, happily in captivity. Not knowing what exists behind the bars you are in. Do you see? A lack, it says, my people, this is God talking, it says, my people are gone into captivity. They enter captivity because they have no knowledge. No knowledge. And they are honorable men. All those who are supposed to be honored are now famished. And their multitude dried up with thirst. Things are not working. Why? Because you are not reading what you're supposed to read. You are not getting to know what you're supposed to get to know. Yes. So knowledge is very, very important. You know, we talk about deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. Deliverance is, for a child of God, deliverance comes through knowledge. It says, through knowledge shall the just, the righteous ones, be delivered. So our deliverance as children of God is based on our knowledge of God's word. So if you don't know God's word, that's in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter what? Can you help me? That verse, I have it to someone. It's in Proverbs. Proverbs for through knowledge. 11:9. Proverbs 11:9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. The just is right, the righteous. And when you become a born-again child of God, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. There's nothing you can do for it. It's from the Lord. The Lord imputes it to you. The blessings that Abraham had, you know, there's the blessing of Abraham, and then there's the blessings of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is the blessing of righteousness. And out of that blessing, all the other blessings come out. You see, Abraham found something. That's in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Look at Romans 4, verse 1. The Bible says, what shall we then say that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Abraham found something. What did he find? Next verse. For if Abraham were made righteous by works, the word justified is righteous. If he was made righteous by works, he has something to glory of, but not before God. Next verse. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The blessing he had was a blessing of righteousness. And out of that blessing, all the other blessings came. The blessings of health, the blessings of wealth, the blessings of peace, every other blessing came. Do you see? Now, as a righteous child of God can have demonic problems, can have demonic influences because of the things he has contacted in this world, because of some things he has said, because of unforgiveness, like a bishop was talking about, offenses. Offenses attract demons. You may not know. Yes. You know the guy who put his brother in prison for owing him $20 when he was forgiven by his master for owing him billions of dollars. That guy, the Bible says in Matthew 18, was delivered to tormentors. The tormentors are demons. So by if you don't forgive as a Christian, as a child of God, you see that demons are just moving around you. Yeah, and things can't work. Yes. Things don't work in a certain way just because you are not forgiving your wife or forgiving your husband or forgiving your brother or your sister. We all have God in us. How can you say you love God and not love your brother? It doesn't make any sense. So we invite demons into our lives by not forgiving. And we invite demons into our lives by just not walking in faith, by doubting God. Doubt is one of the things that brings demons into our lives. Because what God needs to work in your life is faith. And what the devil needs to work in your life is your doubt. Hey. So our deliverance is based on our knowledge. The more we know God's word, the more we are delivered. And in our case, as Christians, the knowledge we are talking about is knowledge about one person. His name is Jesus Christ. So Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1 that we will get to know, Ephesians 1 verse 14 and 15 and 16, which is the earnest of our, go to 17, it's too far. Paul says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Who is it? Who is the him he's talking about? Don't think about your grandmother or your grandfather. He's talking about Jesus Christ. So the purpose of the spirit of wisdom and revelation is to have access to knowledge concerning Jesus Christ. To know his plan. So look at the next verse. The knowledge of him. So that the eyes of understanding will be enlightened. That we may know what is the hope of his calling. Who's calling? Jesus is calling. So Jesus has a calling for you and I. He wants us to have spiritual insight and wisdom so that we may get to know the hope of his calling. There's a calling that the Lord has. There's a purpose. The Lord has a purpose. And he wants us to know that purpose. Then he says, and he wants us to know the riches of the glory of Jesus' inheritance in the saints. Jesus has an inheritance in us. We have an inheritance in him, and he also has an inheritance in us. There's something Jesus wants to inherit from you. He wants to inherit his glory from you. He's put his glory in you, and he wants to inherit that glory on a certain day. And he wants to inherit that glory in you and in others. So he wants us to bring others to him. Then he lets us know, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So he wants us to know his plan, he wants us to know his inheritance, and he wants us to know his power, which is in us. Yeah, without knowledge, we are bankrupt. We are bankrupt. The only difference between a university graduate and a JSS graduate is knowledge. It's just knowledge, what you have been bombarded with. It just changes your life. It changes your dressing. It changes how you look at life. Just because you have read some books. You have read some sociology books. Written some exams that you couldn't pass. But it still changes you. Hey! Oh, I just remember there are sharks in this church. I saw the post of the first class people. It's not easy. It's not a small thing. Hey, as well. I was so impressed. I said, I'm going to learn to do this. I'm going to make sure I also have some first class people. Oh, this one you come, you work for God, you end up failing. It's not true. Oh, yes. We have to post it. Oh, yes. Who answer? It's powerful. It's a good answer. I like that answer. Hallelujah. So we knowledge is too important. The quality of the life of a child of God is dependent on the knowledge of Jesus he has. That's the truth. Well, this evangelism thing we are talking about, if you don't know Jesus, it will not mean much to you. It will not mean much to you. I mean, we'll talk, we'll preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. Your bar center will still remain at 5. Because you don't know the one who is asking you to do some of these things. And you don't know his power that is working in you to help you do what he's telling you to do. So knowledge is very important. Very, very important. That's why you need to do your quiet time. You need to read your Bible. It won't work. The energy you have inside will not work. It will not be there. You need quiet time to maintain consistent energy. Yeah. I believe, this is my personal opinion, I believe that one of the greatest assets our father has, Bishop Doug has, is quiet time. He says it, but it's like we don't believe it. You will not know how powerful it is until you start doing it. You start taking it seriously. Yeah. And receiving, when God speaks to you during your quiet time, God has spoken. You just do what God says to do. Yeah. Your life will change forever. Receive grace to do your quiet time in Jesus' name. Receive grace to do your quiet time. Receive grace to read the book of Mark. Receive grace to read the book of Luke. Receive grace to read the book of John. So that you can get to know Jesus more. Yeah. Because we cannot market someone we don't know. We cannot, if I'm trying to sell this book, I need to know what is inside. I need to be able to, I mean, you should see Bishop Ogo marketing on this book. I mean, he realized, hey, you will buy the book right now because he knows the books. What is he talking about? Yeah. What you don't know, you will not know until you read. That's why you need to read. That's why you need to listen to messages. Listen to what is being said. As you listen, you will know. And as you listen, the spirit of that particular message will enter you and it will set you on your feet to produce the fruits that it is talking about. Hallelujah. So I just want to spend some few minutes talking about 10 facts of evangelism. Because the knowledge will help you. If you know some of these things, it will help you. Do you see? So fact number one. 10 facts of evangelism. Fact number one. I know these things because I've been listening to Daddy. Yeah. Fact number one. God has intense love for sinners. Fact number one. God has what? Intense love for sinners. Intense. And when I say intense, I mean intense. There are different kinds of love that God sustains towards his children. Okay? If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, you know, I has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So there are things that God has prepared for those who love him. God has a special love for those who love him. Do you see? It's not every child of God who loves God. Those who love God have special things prepared for them. God has a special love for those who love him back. Oh, yes. That's how life is. Oh, it's not like that. The one who do you fall in love with everybody you see around? No, the one who reciprocates your love, you don't joke with. You will buy the shawarma for the one who loves you. You express your shawarma love for the person. And you express your pizza love for that person. Oh, yes. You are buying sickness for her, but it's still fine. It's still powerful. Then there's God has a love. It's all over in the Bible. You see it. You know how God has, for instance, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Look at Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So there's those who love God, have God having, making all things work together for their good. It's not every child of God that thinks everything works together for good. Let's be serious. Let's read the Bible and know what it is saying. Let's just be serious. Let's stop quoting scriptures out of context. For instance, you start quoting. I can do all, Romans 3, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Then you stop there. What is wrong with you? It doesn't work. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or do. Then we make sense around it. God is able to do just what he says he will do. And we don't add the rest. According to, where is it? No, Roman. That's Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God is able, now God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, comma. According to the power that worketh in us. So if the power working in you is not working on a certain level, you will not have everything working together for you. It doesn't work like that. According to the power that is at work within you, which is the power of faith. Yeah. How much can you believe for? As you are asking and thinking, how much can you believe for? That's how it works. It doesn't just work like that. So let's stop misbehaving with the all things are working together for my good. It's not true. It's for those who love him back. Oh, yes. It's a conditional something. Those who love him back. How do we know you love God? When you do what he says you should do. Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. So these verses apply to those who feed the sheep of God. Please, let's be serious. Yes. Jesus said, if you love me. He didn't say, if you love me, cry in the church. If you love me, roll in the church. If you love me, praise me. We can do worship, we can do praise, we can do all of those things. But still, we are not expressing our love for him. Because he told Peter in John 21, verse 15, Simon, do you lovest me more than all these things? He says, yes, Lord, I love you. He says, if you love me, then feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. If you love me. Jesus said in John 14, verse 21 and 23, if you love me, keep my commandments. It is the one who has my commandments and keepeth them. You that you are not remembering any phrase in the Bible. What is that? How does that show that you love God? But you remember King Palute's song. I'm going home. I don't think you like that. You remember King Palute's song. You remember Shatawale's song. You remember all these people. When Beyonce releases a song now, you are the first to know. You write down the lyrics and you are memorizing it. Or you are watching all these Korean series and you know Kim Jong-ho and Kim Lu-ha. Hey! Kim Min-ho. Lee Min-ho. Lee Min-ho. Yeah, Lee Min-ho. Lee Min-ha and Kim Jong-ho. You know the language. Come on, Missy Mida. Hey! That you can't remember the verses of the Bible. And you want all things to work together for your good. Hey, it doesn't work like that, please. Let's be serious. Let's be serious and just be stable in our lives. Stop that drop there and humble yourself. Yes. It doesn't work like that. Yeah. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yes. Go to that place, John 14, verse 2. He that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. The one who loves me is the one who keeps the commandment, and I will love him back. It's very important. Then there's also a general love that the Lord has for all his children. If you become born again, there's a love he has for you. 1 John 3, 1. Go to 1 John 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So there's a love that the Lord has for all his children. Everybody. Every child of God. That is the truth. We can't change that. But those who learn to retain his love for him, they are different. Yeah. Those who learn to retain his love for him by keeping his word, by feeding his sheep, and by giving for his assignment. He doesn't joke with them at all. Yeah. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, the Amplified Version. which is for God loveth the cheerful giver. But the Amplified says that, Amplified Classic. Classic, uh-huh. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do its giver, whose heart is in his giving. Can you imagine that when you start giving to God's cause, you start sponsoring the gospel, you start giving tithes, proper tithes, not 2%, actual tithe, 10%. Eh? Not fixed amount. The whole year, your tithe is 100, every month, 100, 100. Hey! What are you trying to say? Like God has placed a limit, you have placed a limit on yourself. It's 1,000 every month, no matter whether you climb up. Hey! It's not nice. Be honest. Just stop the hypocrisy. Just give the tithe, give the 10. Oh! Give the 10th. Why should, why? You see, you are deceiving us. You are deceiving the pastor in the church. But you can't deceive God. Because God looketh on the heart. It's very funny when we are trying to hide from God. We hide like ostriches hide. They put their head under a stone and all their bottom is showing. Their whole body is showing. And they say that they are hiding. What are you talking about? You can't hide. Your bottom is in the air. Everybody can see your bottom. You say you are hiding. You are deceiving us to say that we have given tithe of 100 Ghana. Meanwhile, the tithe is actually 250 Ghana. Hey. And God is seeing that it's 250 Ghana. Who are you trying to lie to? Hey! God, he doesn't joke. He says, God loves. Eh? God, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon. Can you imagine? God is unwilling to abandon. Yeah. Like even when life is trying to push you away, God cannot let you go like that. No. He's unwilling to abandon and to do without. God will keep coming. When you become a giver in the church, God will keep coming to you for everything. Have you experienced it before? You start giving. You decide, I'm going to give my tithe. I'm going to give my offering. I'm going to give seeds. You see that every time God is asking you for seed. More seed. Yeah, you give, but I realize that your account is finished. But you can never outgive God. God is the greatest giver. He will always shock you. Always. He says he doesn't joke with those people at all. Yeah. You see, it's very important. However, every single child of God who is getting into this kind of love, which is responding to God's love, ends up getting into the first type of love, which is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the highest type of love that God has. This one, John 3:16, is the highest. God doesn't love us as much as he loves this. And we know by what he did because of this type of love. Those of us who are born again, he's not dying for us again. The love he has for us is not Odoyewu type of love. But those who are outside the church are the ones he died for. So if you are in the church and you don't have that type of love for those who are outside the church, it's like you don't really know him. The more you get to know him, the more you get to know his heart. Yeah. Have you read the portion of the Bible where it says that he leaves the 99 for the one? Yeah. They will leave us. We are the 99. Yeah. Oh, you don't know we are the 99. Ask your neighbor, are you 99 or you are one? Which one are you? Yeah. The love he has makes him leave the 99. To go and look for the one, because when you are part of it, you are secured. But there's someone who needs to come in. There's someone whose life is at stake. There's someone whose life is going to be lost. So there's some urgency related to this type of love. He doesn't joke with it at all. At all. It's intense love. And the closer, I don't know if you, look at our father. Our father started by pastoring a church, teaching a church, pastoring a church. As he was growing in the Lord, the deeper he got to the Lord, the more he realized that the cross is important. The blood of Jesus is important. So you notice that now he spends most of his time out there, spending a lot of money. Charlie, to do a crusade with 5,000 people is not a small thing in a idiocy. He has not visited you before because you are the 99. You are the 99. You are okay. Yeah? You are the 99. You are not going anywhere. But the one who is lost, the one who is lost must be looked for. Yeah. So the closer you get to Jesus, the more you love him, the more you look for the one. Oh, yeah. You will look for, no matter where you start, whether you start as a teacher in the house of God, apostle, prophet, whatever, your ultimate aim, the closer you want to look for the one, because he is always looking for the one. If you want to be close to him, he's out there looking for the one. So you better go with him to look for the one. You better go with him to look for the one. You better go. Oh, yeah. Hey. Yeah, he's not sitting in a church. He's moving around. Yes. Yes. So you must realize it. If you realize it, you change your life. If you recognize it, you change your life. He has a deep, intense love for those who are lost. Yeah. For those who are lost. And he did everything to make sure those who are lost are brought in. Yeah. He did everything possible. If you read in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So God doesn't joke with the ungodly at all. Maybe you don't know. He doesn't joke with the ungodly at all. You see these girls moving around. They are doing all kinds of things. These boys moving around. The love the Lord has for them, no, eh? You cannot compare. He has serious bowel movements for lost sheep. Yeah. Matthew 9, verse 36. When he saw a multitude. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. He was moved. They are bowel movements. God has ayim shishir. How do you say it? Yem shishir, no. How do you say that in English? Ayim shishir. You know? Yem shishir, no. It's not a small thing. Deep bowel movements. Yes. There's no English word. The English word is compassion. And we don't understand. I think the Amplify says it's nicely. Amplify Classic. Yeah. Amplify Classic says it's nicely. When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them. Yeah. Until, you see, that feeling must be there. That feeling must be there. This evangelism we are talking about. All you do is in a physical. And you get small results. Because you don't have compassion. You are doing it because they say we should do it. But you don't, yeah, you are doing it because they say you should do it. You don't really have bowel movement. How do you feel when you see someone who is not born again? How do you feel? Do you have it in your mind, this guy, he go die, he go hell. You go to hell. Every now and then I realize I don't care about souls. Every now and then. Yes. Every now and then I realize that I don't really care about souls. So you see me praying for compassion. Lord, make me more compassionate. Because I honestly don't care. How about you? Do you care? You are now learning. You realize you don't care. Because the way God cared and moved to die, he moved to die. If you don't understand the intense care of love it will not work. It's a fact you must understand. Why would you move? Look at that, he's moving all the way to Solomon Island. Many flights, whatever, ship. Hey, moving equipment on boats to go to that. These are islands, though. You don't get there by any other means. There's no road. You need water to go. You can't imagine the millions that will be spent to move to go there and gather people and preach to them for 1 hour each day. 1 hour, 45 minutes, preach 1 hour. I mean, if you don't have intense care and love, you will say the money can be used to build some cathedrals. Because there are cathedrals that are pending. Oh, yeah. You will say, oh, there are some orphans that need to be taken care of. There are some hospitals we need to take care of. But you've forgotten that when God came on earth, he didn't build any hospital. He didn't build any cathedral. He didn't build any school. He didn't do any of those things. He gave his life, and his body, his flesh, is more than money. Yeah, he gave himself for us. He gave his blood for us. Hey, Charlie, we must understand the dynamics properly, or else we'll joke with it. Oh, evangelism. Sure. It's something that is topmost on God's heart. Topmost. He doesn't joke with it at all. He will leave the 99 for the one. So let's also learn to leave the 99 for the one. If we want to be close to him, then we must go out there. Yeah. We must go out there to be crucified with him. Hebrews 13 mentions it. It says, let us go out of the camp. Yeah. Let us go outside of the camp to meet our Lord, because he's outside. He's dying for people. Hey. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. I think you understand this point. I can move to the next point. But God commends his love towards us. This is the commendation of God's love. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is when we were sinners. He didn't die for Christians. He died for sinners. Yeah. So you must understand his love for sinners. It's a strange love. And the closer we get to him, the more we love sinners as well. Receive grace to have compassion, to have bowel movements, real bowel movements. I am sincere for those who are around you, your family members who are not born again, your friends who are not born again, your colleagues who are not born again. Yes. What comes to you when you see a Muslim? Sometimes you think that they are also going to the same heaven we are going to. But they have 70 virgins. We don't have 70 virgins where we are. We don't have 70 virgins where we are going. But we call them our brothers and our sisters. Yes, they are, but they are not. Do you have bowel movements when you see them? Yes. If you can't go, pray. Bishop Bempa spoke about prayer evangelism, pre-jealism. Yeah. Pray. Does it bother you that, you see, Asia, out of every 10 human beings on earth, 7 are in Asia. Or 7. Is it 6? 6 are in Asia. Out of every 10, 6 are in Asia. And the rest are everywhere else. And those 6 are all not born again. Yeah. Everybody wants to have ministry in America. Or in Canada. Yeah, Europe. And all this. But India. Pakistan. It's like we have donated it to the devil. It's okay, be blessed. We have blessed the devil with it. Be blessed. Thank you, Mr. Devil. All the best. Yeah. We don't care. We don't pray. We don't do. We don't care. We don't care. Honestly, we don't care. Yes. Or we don't know that we don't care. We don't care. Including me. I also don't care. Oh, Lord, help us care. Lift your hand and ask God to give you grace to be a caring, compassionate preacher, compassionate child of God, who will do something, who will pray, who will go, who will pray, who will go, in the name of the Lord Jesus, who will give for others to go, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, receive grace.
Yes, Lord.
To have pity, to be moved with pity and compassion and sympathy for those who are harassed and distressed and dejected and helpless. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. Lord, receive grace to care. Receive grace to love. To have the same love and compassion as you do. You have that compassion. You have that love. Lord, give it to us. Impart us with it. Give us deep bowel movement for people who are not around. For those who are outside the church. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Mano hosha aparagadele. Mande hekeleba. Mano hodabaya. Help us understand, Lord. Help us understand this deep love that you have for these people. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Mande heshi kalaba. Rego laba ragadabai. Rego laba. Mando shadalebe. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we are grateful, we are thankful. Thank you for this knowledge. Thank you that our hearts are changing to become like yours more and more. Lord, we want to be like you. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be more like you.
Jesus, I want to be more like you.
I want to be more like you.
Jesus, I want to be a vessel you work through.
Fact number two, there's no other name for salvation under the earth. There's no other name. There's none. That's the point number two. There's no other name for salvation. No name. Yeah. And you and I have that name. There's no name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Peter, who had worked with Jesus for so many years, was talking to these Pharisees and rulers of the synagogue. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. Brothers and sisters, it's either it is true or it is not true. It's either it's true. Oh, it's not true. Do you think this is true? There's no name. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no name, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved apart from the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. I am one of the ways. I'm thinking about creating more ways. He said, I am the way. If we believe that Jesus is God, when Jesus, who is God, came down on earth, He made statements. He made very hard statements. One of them is that, I am the way. An absolute statement. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man, no woman, no child, no slave, no rich man can come to the Father except by me. No one. It's either he was telling the truth or he was lying. If he was telling the truth, then we have to take it seriously. It's a fact that cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. These are facts. They cannot be altered. They cannot be changed. They cannot be altered. They cannot be changed. There's no name given under heaven. These guys were ready to die. Jesus died, and these guys were ready to die to stand for this particular truth, or for this particular fact. They asked them, who do we obey? Should we obey God or do we obey men? Who do we obey? Should we obey God? They were being threatened with death. And they said, do you think we should obey God or we should obey men? Because there's no name. Then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Rather than men. Look at the next verse, verse 30. It's so nice. This is Acts chapter 5. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. You guys killed him. Next verse. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. It is he who is a savior. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They took counsel to slay them. Sail. They preached. This same Jesus. Their issue with them was that they should not preach in the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus was changing people's lives. Because there's no name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, apart from the name of Jesus Christ. So if I have that name, I must make others know about that name. I must make others know about that name. If there's no other name, Buddha doesn't catch it. Allah doesn't catch it. Muhammad doesn't catch it. None of these guys catch it. Only Jesus. And I have Jesus. I have Jesus. And I can give him to others. What am I delaying for? What are you afraid of? If you had gold for your family and were beating you for saying that you have gold, will you stop talking? If you really care about them, you will keep talking. Yes. You will do your best. You will do your best. Paul said, whether by life or death, my life should glorify, my life should communicate Jesus Christ. Yes. Jesus must be known. Christ must be known. Hey, I'm changing the thing. I'm sorry. What a shock. Hallelujah. There's no other name. Tell me, but there's no other name. That's why Paul said, I am not ashamed. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed. I don't care. I'm not ashamed. Because I have the key. I have the knowledge. I have knowledge that nobody has. And God loves these people. He wants them to have that knowledge. And he has sent me to give it to them. Hey, let me give it to them. If I care enough, I'll give it to them. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The word you see is gospel of Christ. It's the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. I don't know what you understand by gospel, but gospel is good news. Too good to be true news. That's what the word gospel is. And it's too good to be true news of someone. His name is Jesus Christ. And that is what we are to give to others. No other name. No other name. It looks like foolishness, but that is the way. If I were God, I would have created a sign in the sky that shows up every now and then to let you know that, hey, fire is coming. I'll let fire burn every head that is not born again for some few minutes. Then I'll let a voice speak and say, hey, this is what you have for eternity. Be wise. But he didn't do that. He sent us. It's a very serious something. What do you think? Yeah, he sent us to do that work. Yes, how can I mean? Doesn't make sense. Look at how frail we are. And how some way we are. Look at how many messages we have to preach to convince you to preach the gospel. I mean, it's like God has made a wrong investment. Every year. Yeah. But that's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. It's called the foolishness of preaching. Yeah. The foolishness of preaching. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. He's entrusted us with that name to give it to others. Receive grace. See, I receive grace to give that name to others in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number three. Fact number three. Fact number two leads to fact number three. We are given the responsibility of evangelism and missions. We are given them responsibility of evangelism and missions. Isn't it not amazing? Like I said, if I were God, I would have brought fire down. I would do it myself. But you know Jesus is involved in evangelism. How many of you know Jesus is involved in evangelism? Jesus is involved in evangelism right now as I'm talking to you. Just like he doesn't appear where you are. Where you are, he will not appear. Where you are not, he will appear. You see, Jesus was involved in the salvation of Saul. Saul of Tarsus. It is Jesus. No human being could convince Saul of Tarsus. Everybody was afraid to meet him. If you meet him, he's arresting you. There's no place. The guy was a very stubborn guy. What did Jesus do? Jesus himself met him on the road to Damascus. Yeah. Made sure he was blind and told him he should go. He will be told what to do. And that's how he got born again. I can tell you that Jesus still appears to people. Yeah. Have you ever heard of some of these Muslim countries where Jesus appeared? Someone said, Jesus, many testimonies. Jesus appeared to me and spoke to me. He's busy in those places that we can't go. We are unable to go because of all the pressure. But where you are, he will not come. How many of you have been praying that Jesus will show himself to you? over the years, and he has not showed himself to you. Have you noticed he has not showed himself to you? He is too busy. He's working. Oh, yes. You to work. Hallelujah. Yeah. Meet him on the field. You see, in Acts chapter 10, we see a man called Cornelius who loved the Lord and all of that, but he wasn't born again. So God sent an angel to him, isn't it? How many of you know the story? God sent an angel to him, and the angel told him that, listen, send men to Joppa. Eh? Go to verse 4. So I read from verse 4 to verse 5. Do you like my message? Oh, I should stop preaching. It's working. Okay. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine arms are come up before, up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now this angel shows up, but cannot preach the gospel. The angel cannot preach the gospel to Cornelius. He says he should send for Peter from Joppa, and he will come and tell him words. Chapter 11, I believe, verse 12, it says, men who will tell you words whereby you and your household shall be saved. Next verse. Go to verse 13 to verse 14. 13. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who sent him his Peter. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? The words were in Peter's mouth. They were in a human being's mouth. They weren't in the angel's mouth. The angels cannot preach the gospel we are preaching. They are angels. Angels preach something called, they'll come and preach something called the everlasting gospel. But now the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is preached by human beings. We are the ones who have been given that responsibility. Supernaturally by the Lord. Yeah. And because, you see, when you give someone a responsibility, what do you do? Do you hold the person responsible for that responsibility? So we'll also be held responsible for the responsibility that God has given to us. That's why Paul said that, I have gone amongst you preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And I'm pure of every man's blood. I don't have any problem with anybody. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse 22, I believe. And now I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall before me there. See that the Holy Ghost witnessed every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Next verse, look at the next verse. Verse 25. Yes. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom have gone preaching the gospel, kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul said he's pure of the blood of all men. He's like, I preach to all the people I'm supposed to preach to. Can you imagine that there are people that God has assigned for you to preach to? It is your voice they are waiting for. My voice will never change them. It is your voice. Yeah. Mommy's voice will never change them. It is your voice that will change them. They need to hear your voice. Your voice has been coded to their salvation. Oh, yes. It's an amazing fact of the gospel that you must accept. Yeah. I take to you records that I am pure from the blood of all men. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I have told you all the things I'm supposed to do. I preach publicly and privately from house to house. That's in verse 20. Acts 20, 20. And now I kept back nothing. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. But I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house. So there are meetings you have to do publicly. And there are meetings you have to do from house to house. One-on-one and publicly. And some people are waiting for your voice. You see, one day we were having a wedding at a certain part of Accra. And the wedding was well attended. I think we had about 500 of our people there. There were a lot. Very huge wedding. And as I was sitting, I was just looking at everybody. I was sitting now. God spoke to me and told me, you see how many people's lives would have been lost if you had not taken me seriously. God spoke to me and said, you see how many people would have been lost if you had not taken me seriously. Yeah. You will never know how many people's lives are connected to yours until you start taking the things seriously. Yeah. One day I had, my church had just one person for so many months, for 6 months, and I was frustrating. So in the midst, there's somewhere I decided, I called the guy, I said, no matter what I did, just one person will come. I called the guy, I said, Charlie, stay at home, I also stay at home. See you later. Whilst I was lying on my bed, my ceiling opened and a hand came out with this pointing figure to me, pointing at me. If you do this again, I'll kill you, with a voice. If you do this again, I'll kill you. Many lives are dependent on yours. He said, many lives are dependent on yours. If you do this, I'll kill you. Hey. So I started preaching because I was afraid. I've not missed church up to date just because I'm afraid. I don't want to have any problem with the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Maybe you have not been warned. I'm telling you, God is warning you now that some people's lives are dependent on yours. This is a warning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. There's a warning. Hey, tell me about there's a warning. Paul says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether according to that he has, and whether it be good or bad. When we stand before the Lord, he says he will check whether we did what he wanted us to do or we didn't do it. Next verse. Then he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Knowing therefore what? The terror of the Lord. We persuade men. There's a terror that is related to some of these things. Hey. You better respond to God's call for your life. Because he has made you responsible. Because he has given you ability to do what he's saying you should do. God never gives you responsibility without giving you ability. That's why when you're sitting in that church, you get a nudge within. Say something. Have you ever experienced it? Yeah. Say something. Or you see someone passing by, the Lord will tell you, stop that, talk to this person. Has it happened to you before?
Yes.
That is the Lord working in you to help you accomplish what you are supposed to accomplish. No responsibility from the Lord comes without ability from the Lord. God will never make us responsible for something he won't give us ability for. He has given us ability. That is why he's giving us that responsibility. Responsibility is from two words, response and ability. So responsibility is responding to the ability that God has given. That's all. Yes. Responding to the ability. And that's my next point. I'm coming there. But God has given us a responsibility. And it's so urgent that he gives it to us at our new birth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's what? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, isn't it? Then he says, and all these new things are of God. Who has what? Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. As soon as you get born again, God gives you a ministry. Oh, yes. He gives you a responsibility. As soon as you get born again, he gives it to you. Reconcile others. Just as I brought you to me, bring others to me. Hey. How many of you will tell a day-old baby to go and buy bread for you? How many of you will do that? You won't do that. But God does it. God does it. The day you get born again, that same day, he gives you a responsibility. That same day, within the same breath, go into all the world. Same breath. You get born again. I receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I believe that he died for me. He rose from me on the third day. I received eternal life into my spirit. I'm now the righteous of God. Thank you for washing my sins away with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, I'm born again. Amen. Now go ye therefore and preach the gospel to all nations. Hey! No place for relaxation. Immediately you get born again, you are moving. And that's what happened to Paul. Immediately Paul got born again. When they prayed for him, when Ananias prayed for him, he says, rise and go. Immediately. Are you seeing it? So tell anybody, you have a responsibility. Tell anybody, you have a responsibility. Tell the other neighbor, you have a responsibility. Tell the neighbor behind you, you have a responsibility. And the Lord will ask us. Tell anybody, the Lord will ask us. Tell your neighbor, the Lord will ask us. Wow. Number four. Accept the call of God. Accept the call of God. God gives you a responsibility, but you also have to accept it. If you don't accept it, it won't work. Jonah was called, isn't it? Accept the responsibility. Accept the call of God. All are called, though. You know. Jonah 1, verse 1. Jonah was called, but he didn't mind the Lord. He ran away. Ask your neighbor, are you running away from your responsibilities or you are staying? What did your neighbor say? Receive grace to not run away. Jonah 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. God gave me responsibility. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This is what happens to a lot of people. When God gives a responsibility, they're like, no. I can't be doing some of these things. Well, preach what? Preach which gospel? For the way? No. I'm too polished. I'm married. Oh, but marriage is one of the major excuses for not accepting the call of God. Yeah, Jesus talks about it. My wife doesn't want me to be there. Cry at all. I've married a wife, therefore I cannot. He's the one who said, I cannot come. All the others said, allow me, give me permission. But this guy said, I cannot come. Because of marriage. Oh, it's in the Bible, Matthew 22, right? Yeah, Matthew 22. Luke 22. Luke 14, 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Yeah. All the others said, excuse me, give me some whatever. I'm sorry, I can't make it. But the one who had married. Yeah. Because marriage is one of the major things that blocks us from doing what God wants us to do. Yeah. Because now you have someone in your life. And the person is whispering into your ears. Woe unto you if it's a Jezebel, you are in trouble. I tell you. And Jezebels can be found in the church too. Jezebels can be found where? In the church. So be careful. Don't just say, you know the boys who enter church and they say that, oh, church, when it's time to marry, they enter the church. All the church girls are good. You'll be surprised. There are some lionesses around. I tell you. Yeah. Their madness comes at 11:59 p.m. into 12 a.m. That's when they start shaking. And when the madness comes, you can't sleep till 4 a.m. Yeah. Witchcraft, I tell you. That's when they want to quarrel. That's when they want to fight. So your life is disoriented all the time. Tell me, but don't run away from the call. Not many wise are called. If you feel you are not wise, you are part of the calling. If you feel you are not noble enough, you are part of the calling. Yes. If you think you are not good enough, you are the one that he has called. Nobody who is called by the Lord feels called. Everybody feels like they are not qualified. Moses felt unqualified. There's nobody who has... Everybody is not... All of us. Yeah. Because by strength shall no man prevail. Your strength cannot do it. Yeah. So you accept the call irrespective of how you feel. It's not by might. It's not going to be done by might. Just accept the call. Don't run. Stop running away. Tell me, but stop running away. Receive grace to not run away. Tell neighbor, receive grace to not run away. Yeah. You can use your academics as an excuse. Yeah. My course is too difficult. I don't have time. Is it true or is it not true? But if you don't learn how to be a student, you cannot learn how to live in life. If you don't learn how to balance your life as a student, I can tell you that life is tougher out of school. Yeah. Ask all those who have finished school. They will tell you. If you have a problem of no time in school, you will have a worse problem of no time when you leave school. Yeah. Your time is finished, I tell you. School is the best place to serve God. And the best place to start learning to serve God. Because when you develop the taste for serving God, you will not lose it when you go. Yeah? If you don't learn it now, forget it. Yeah? You'll be surprised. You need it now. You need your evenings to be dedicated to the Lord now. Don't wait. Don't run away to Tarshish. There's a whale waiting to swallow you. Something will swallow you whole. A boy will swallow you whole. A girl will swallow you whole. Oh, yes. Your job will swallow you whole. Oh, yeah. Your job. One of the excuses they gave is that I have a business to do. Yeah, I bought me some yoke of oxen. I bought some yoke of oxen. They have to work, so I'm going to check them in the night. I have to try it in the night. Yes. My business, my work. My business, my work. Yeah, it will swallow you whole like this, and you cannot survive. So respond to the call of God now. Don't wait. Don't wait before you realize 10 years has come. Before I realize 20 years has come. I was 20 years ago in second year in this university. 20 years ago, can you imagine? Do I look like someone who is so old? I'm a very young man. Yeah, but I'm not young like that. 20 years ago, I was in second year. Yes. 20 years ago. That's someone's age right now. Yes. And it has come very quickly. So I remember 20 years ago. It means that 20 years to come is very short. It will come right now. Well, before long, your life has ended. And before long, your opportunity to serve God is gone. Before long, the fruits, the people whose voices, who have been designed to hear a voice, cannot be found. So you better act now. Yeah. Stop running away. Tell your neighbor, stop running away. Shake your neighbor and say, receive grace to stay where God wants you to be. Receive grace to respond to the call of God. Yeah, before long it's finished. Before long, the Lord says, it's okay, you can come to heaven now. Yeah. The Lord is the one who sanctions our death. He decides that it's okay, you can come now. Make yourself useful before they chop off your head. Make yourself useful. It's when you have a goat behind your door, behind your window, who is not quiet, is always making noise. Meh, meh, meh. At 12 a.m. Meh, 2 a.m. Meh, 3 a.m. Meh. Hey, what do you think will happen to him by morning? Goat soup. You are gone. Some of us are not useful in the house of God. We are not useful to God. And we keep making noise, asking for things, requesting for things. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, give me a husband. Lord, give me a car. Lord, give me a job. Lord, we are always talking. Lord, give me. Lord, give me. Lord, give me. Lord, give me. Huh? Always asking. Always making noise. Very soon, you will use it for chinga. You say, it's okay. Give the body to the devil and come. Let the spirit come back. Yeah. I want to be useful in the house of God. I want to be a useful tool in the hand of the Lord. Oh, yeah. A strong axe. A strong battle axe. Yeah. Working for the Lord. What do you think? Receive grace to be useful in the house of the Lord. Yes. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. The years are running. Yeah. It's going. Whatever you need to do, do it now. Jesus told Judas, whatever you need to do, do it now. It's also a statement about whatever you need to do, do it now. Don't wait. I remember when God told me to start the church. He told me, do it now. Just do it. Don't wait. Do it now. Yeah. If I had not done what I was supposed to do, I would not be here. Yeah. So you'll be surprised at the things that God has arranged for you. That you need to, he wants you to get, but he needs you to move now. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, move now. Number five, right? Is it number five? Yeah. Number five. God empowers us and works within us. God empowers us and works within us to accomplish this purpose. God empowers us and works within us for this purpose. It's a fact. Okay? Tell anybody it's a fact. That God works within us and empowers us. Maybe what we are missing is this particular point. Maybe what we are missing is this particular point. When God gives an instruction, he gives an instruction in the spirit. He doesn't give instructions physically. Spiritual things are given spiritually. Spiritual instructions are given spiritually. They are not given physically. Always remember that. Jesus said, the word I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the words he speaks, the Bible is spiritual. It's not normal. So you can't carry out the responsibilities that God gives to you in a normal way. It's not going to work. Zerubbabel is going to build a temple. He's going to help build the walls, the temple, all these things. And God sends the prophet, Zechariah, to tell him that, listen, not by mind. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Tell Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You cannot do this work by your might. I beg you, it doesn't work. Ministry, evangelism, church work, bar center work, pastoring, shepherding, all these things cannot be done humanly speaking. It's not possible. It's supernatural work. Have you heard Obinim saying, Mira spirituals? It's a spiritual. Have you ever heard him say, it's a spiritual work. It's not a physical work at all. Okay? Therefore, you cannot accomplish spiritual work with physical things. You can only accomplish spiritual work with spiritual things. Jesus gave the instructions he gave to the disciples through the Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Acts 1, 3. To whom also, he's talking about the disciples. He says, to the disciples also, Jesus showed himself alive after his passion. After, what is the passion of the Lord? The passion of the Lord is his death, his sufferings, his death, his resurrection. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Spirit, which is here, you have heard of me. He says, don't move until you have received the Spirit. Isn't it? Next verse. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Go to verse 2. He says, unto the day that Jesus was taken up, after that he threw the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He gave them instructions through the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you get it. He gave them instructions through what? Through the Spirit. He gave the instructions through the Spirit. Therefore, those instructions can only be carried out through the Spirit. It cannot be carried out any other way. Please, you understand? John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. John 15, 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he, the Holy Ghost, shall testify of me. He shall speak of me. So the first witness, the first testifier of Jesus Christ is not you and I. It is someone called the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing it or you are not seeing it? It's good to see you. The Spirit is the testifier. Should I go home or should I keep preaching? Yeah? He shall testify of me. We cannot do the ministry of evangelism without the one who does evangelism. The Holy Spirit. He shall testify of me. The word testify means to witness. He shall witness of me. Next verse. Okay, you've gone to Amplified Classic. It says, but you also will testify and be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit is the first testifier. We are the secondary testifiers. We are the secondary witnesses. So there's a partner we work with. There's a senior partner we work with. His name is the Holy Spirit. We should never attempt evangelism of any kind without the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work. It becomes a frustrating endeavor. Have you changed anybody's life? Even your parents could not change you after spending so many years with you. Why do you think a message that you will preach, something that you will say will change somebody? Without the Holy Spirit, they can't change. And the apostles never thought of doing anything without the Spirit. Jesus told them, don't leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Remain until the Holy Spirit comes upon your life. And the Holy Spirit, we see the Holy Spirit moving to make things happen for them. He made their evangelism easy. The first day he arrived on earth, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the noise with which he came was noised abroad. People heard, so they gathered. Peter stood up to preach. And then 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ, as easy as ABCD. Why are we struggling? We are struggling because we don't mind the Spirit. We just move. How do I know you don't mind the Spirit? Because you don't pray before you leave. You don't pray before you leave. You just take your Bible and you move. Even when you are on the, if you pray and you're on the field, you don't ask the Holy Spirit to bring people out. One of our pastors and his congregation went out for evangelism. And when they went out, everybody they met said they were born again. Yes. All the people they were meeting, oh, I want to lead you guys. Oh, I'm already born. I go to church here. A number of times. They went a number of times, and the same experience. So they decided to pray that the Holy Spirit would bring out people who are not born again. Listen, when they prayed like that and they went out, how many Muslims was it? There were 80. They preached to 700 people, and about, was it 300 or 400 of them were Muslims? And all of them gave their lives to Christ. Yes. Same day. One day. I'm not talking about multiple days. One day. Yes. One day. Same area. The same area where they were going, where they weren't getting people. Same area. Yeah. If you remove the Holy Spirit from the thing, it will never work. The assignment was given by the Spirit. It can only be carried out by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the number one witness. We are the secondary witnesses. So we should never do it without him. The reason why I'll pray in tongues for 30 minutes before stepping out is because I want the Holy Spirit to help me. Move. Dear Holy Spirit, move ahead. Do your work. It is your work. I am your mouthpiece. Help me. Give me the words to even speak to them. And you'll be surprised. You say hello and someone will just give their life to Christ. Or you'll be talking to one person before you realize 10 people have gathered. That's how easy it is. Our church started with me being led to one room. The Holy Spirit led me. He said, go to this room in Indies. I went there and that was it. You can ask this man. That's the room we kept going to. One room. Before long, the church was 100. Yes. The Holy Spirit is the master strategist. And every time it is different. He will tell Joshua to conquer Ai, lift your hand with a sword like this. Don't bring it down until Ai is conquered. And that's what Joshua did. When it comes to Jericho, he doesn't tell him to lift his hand. He tells him, go around Jericho. Shout that it will come down. He tells Gideon, don't use any sword. Use a pitcher, use torch light, whatever. Crash the whatever. Strange things. And it worked. That is how evangelism is supposed to be. We shouldn't just be going out, I know what to do, I know. No, you don't know what to do, please. You don't know what to do. It won't work. Nobody will mind you. You will walk, and 10,000 kilometers walk is equal to zero souls. Has it happened to you before? Yeah. Because we are doing it without the Spirit. Yes. We are doing it without the Spirit. You need the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, it won't work. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is inside you to enable you to do it. Yes. Yes. The Holy Spirit is inside you to help you do it. God has sent us and he has given us the Spirit to help us. So my job is to count on the one who is inside. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. I don't know if you are getting notes to write. Are you getting anything to write? 1 Corinthians 15, 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul says, all the things I did, it was because of the grace of God which was with me. Now, what was the grace of God? The grace of God is what is written in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Look at Galatians 2, 7. Paul spoke about the grace of God. He says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, as a gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter. Let's read the Amplified Classic of this verse. Amplified Classic. But on the contrary, when they really saw that I had been entrusted to carry the gospel, to the uncircumcised, that the Gentiles, just as definitely as Peter had been entrusted to proclaim the gospel to the circumcised Jews, they were agreeable. Verse 8, still in the Amplified Classic. For he who motivated and featured Peter and worked effectively through him for the mission to the circumcised, motivated and featured me and worked through me also for the mission to the Gentiles. So Paul is saying that I didn't just have desire to do things. I didn't just move. There was someone who was motivating me, fitting me, and working effectively in me to cause me to do the things I did. Yes. The energy you saw in me was not energy I had because I was disciplined or I was focused. I was a wild guy. No, there was someone who was working in me. For he who motivated and featured Peter and worked effectively through him. There was someone working effectively through. Next verse. The next verse calls to grace. King James. You can read King James, verse 9. He says, and when James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. They called it grace. Paul calls it grace. The working of the Spirit within to motivate you. You need motivation to do the work. You need motivation. You need to be fitted by the Spirit. You need to do it effectively. You need to be effective. And who does that? The Holy Spirit. My job is to recognize the Holy Spirit. My job is, all you need to do is to recognize the Holy Spirit. Dear Holy Spirit, I cannot do this without you. Just recognize. That's how to engage the Spirit. To engage the Spirit is equal to recognizing and thanking Him. Recognize. To engage the Spirit is equal to acknowledging, which is equal to recognizing. Acknowledging or recognizing the Spirit and thanking Him. Recognize and acknowledge that only He can make this happen. I remember when we wanted the church to get to 1,000. How can the church get to 1,000? Even the idea was from the Lord. Like, it's time to get to 1,000. I didn't just cough up like, we want to get to 1,000. No. The Spirit brought it to my mind. 1,000 is good. You can get to 1,000. Yeah. Then I said, we cannot do it. Only you can do it. Please bring the people. You bring the people. Work in us. Cause us to work. Cause us to make things happen. And it started happening. As we just followed the Lord. Recognizing Him. You have a wife, you're not recognizing your wife. I'm telling you, your food will not be ready. Your food will not be ready. Yes. You will starve to death. Yes. And your sex will also not be ready. Oh, mazakala balala. You are not recognizing, acknowledging her, talking to her, letting her know how sweet she is. Forget it. She will wear jeans, tough one, the one that will break your fingernails when you try to. You'll be surprised. You need, brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Spirit badly. I mean, in our system, we need Him badly. More than ever. Only you can do this. No man can do this except God be with him. Only you can do this. Lord, I recognize. I acknowledge you. As a master testifier, testify to these people. Bring them out. It is your presence that makes a difference. Oh, yes. As I speak on the outward, He will speak on the inside. Yeah. He says, when they catch you and they put you before the Sanhedrin, you don't know what to say. Don't worry, just open your mouth. The Spirit of your Father within will speak. So the Holy Ghost within speaks. Yeah. Yes. Only the Holy Ghost can prick people's hearts. Yeah. Peter spoke, people's hearts were pricked. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do then? Yeah. They could not resist the wisdom and the Spirit with which Stephen spoke. Yeah. It's the Spirit. It's the spirit pricks people's hearts. Paul spoke and Lydia's heart was open. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. So as I'm preaching on the outside, I trust the Lord to do what He needs to do inside. My job is to talk. Even the talking, He is the one who is talking through me. And I acknowledge the fact that He is talking through me. He will make it effective in the people's lives. Without that, it will not work. It will not work. By strength shall no man prevail. Not by might. Your basenta will not get to, how many, 20, right? How much is it supposed to get to? How many? 15. It will never get to 15 if you do it on your own. You now you can see. It will not work. plus two, minus one. Four steps forward, three steps backwards. You see that it's not working. You need the Spirit. You need the Holy Ghost. How do you engage the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, I can never do this work, never without you. Please do what you want to do. Bring the people in your own way. Keep them around in your own way. Only you can keep them around. Keep them around. Let them stick to me. Like the 12 stuck to Jesus. Yeah? Jesus said, the ones you have given to me, I've lost none. Only God can make that happen. It's not possible. Yeah? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. This is one of my favorite subjects, what I'm preaching now. Yeah. Yeah. Because, hey, without the Holy Spirit, it's not going to work. Whenever the Lord gives us a target, and we don't receive it in the physical, Charlie, we are going. Let's pray about it. Spiritual. A spiritual assignment. There's no way we can accomplish it physically. So we start off with prayer. Prayer that worships the Lord. I'm ministering to the Lord, and I'm telling the Lord, please, what you are saying, we know go feel do them. Only you go feel do them. I beg, do them. Malabalaba, do them. Egabalaba, do them. Majokalaba, do them. That's all. And as you are hailing him that he's the only one who can do it, yeah, he will climb to his throne. Yeah, you see him. You see him in action. As you are preaching, you see someone manifesting. The girl who was stubborn girl, you see, you hear, that's it. She has changed. She has changed completely. There was a very stubborn girl. Listen, we had done everything. She was not changing. We're having a camp meeting. We're trusting the Lord. We're laying hands. I was laying hands on the person. Pah! That was it. She rode for 6 hours. She was hysterical for 6 hours. I've never seen that before. 6 hours. Do you remember?
Yeah.
6 hours. When she's not a pastor. When she's a pastor and she's a pastor's wife. Stubborn. Oh, after the 6 hours, her life 180 degree away from 180 degree away. Yeah. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. What can I do? Eh? Even her countenance changed. After the 6 hours, she was hysterical. We have finished the meeting. She's sitting, we are close. Everybody's gone to bed. She's sitting outside. Hey, it was wild. Shouting all over. Only the Holy Spirit can do those things. For it is God. Look at this. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yes, it is God. Amplified classic. Not in your own strength. You cannot do what God wants you to do in your own strength, though. It's not possible. Senator Papa, see, the church will never grow. The percentage will 15. It will not work. You think 15 is a small thing? 15. Hey, 15 people. Woman beings. Come again. Uh-huh. 5 people to follow you. 5 complex people. Hey, you need the Holy Spirit. When you kneel down, just start shouting, Holy Ghost, do them. Holy Ghost, do them. That's what you should be praying. That's what you should be praying. Holy Ghost, do them. Yeah? It will never work. It will never work. It is his job. Jesus told the disciples, don't move. Don't even think about it. Don't move. Without the Spirit, this thing will never work. Wait for the Spirit to come. And when the Spirit came, that was it. Everything changed. Their confidence changed. Their results changed. The power they had changed. He comes with the power. He comes with the confidence. He comes with everything. My job is to recognize him. That's all. Just recognize. The fact that you are not praying is the fact that it shows that you don't recognize him. Yeah. Hey! Go back to Philippians 3. Philippians 2 verse 13, right? 2:13. Amplified classic. I'm closing. I think the points are powerful, isn't it? So, in the evening, we'll go to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We couldn't finish. It says, not in your own strength, but it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing. Yeah, you need energy. Because, you see, without the energy of the Spirit, this thing will be boring. You will not do it. Have you ever been laid down in your bed and it's time to go for evangelism and you can't go, like, you can't bring yourself to, like, where am I going? It's like, how to get up is another problem. Yeah. How to talk is another problem.
I was just reminded about, it was on the day of Ohema's wedding. And there was this girl who was doing something for me. And the Holy Spirit said, speak to her. You know, my mind was on welding and whether it was working. And Bishop, I couldn't find a word to say till we finished. Till we finished. I also didn't, I don't even know. Till today I pray about it. Because it's like even to, not a word though. Not a word, not exactly. Exactly. I talk easily. So at least let's chat. Even that.
By strength shall no man prevail. Hey, me, I'm conscious of it. This thing, eh? You see, I was not so good in school, so I don't depend on myself at all. I was not so good in school, even though I finished a second class upper in both master's and first degree. But I'm not the type of person who counts on my abilities. I'm not wise on a normal day, and I know it. I know how foolish choices I have made in my life. Choices that you not make those choices, but I've made those choices before. Yeah, so I realize that I'm a very foolish person. Without the Holy Spirit, I am nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I agree 100%. 200%, I agree. So I know how useless I am without the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without the vine, what is a branch? You are nothing. My ability to bear fruit is dependent on the vine. My job is to remain in the vine and enjoy the vine. Sure, I should move away and you think that I am something. I can do all things through me who strengthens me. Hey! I can do all things through me who strengthens me. I cannot, it's not going to work. I can rather do all things through Christ, through the anointing that strengthens me to do what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. Without the anointing, you cannot do very much. You cannot do well. There's a song like that. But with the anointing, you can build a mega church. You can teach. You can preach. Yeah. Hey, be honest. Energy. 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 E for energy. Yeah. Not in your own strength. For it is God who is all the while perpetual at work in you. Energizing and creating in you the power and desire. Even the desire is from him. Yeah, the desire is from him. Yeah. Both to will, the power and the desire, to be willing to will and to work for his good pleasure. This evangelism is his good pleasure. Only he can motivate you to do it. So you knew that, Lord, motivate me. Lord, motivate me. However you want to motivate, and he will use a message to motivate you. He will use a text to motivate you. He will use a verse, a scripture to motivate you. He will use something to motivate you. You see that you are never going down. You're always happy. You're always ready to do something. Yeah. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. By strength shall no man prevail. Yeah. Colossians 1 verse 29. Paul said, I'm preaching not because I'm a very wild guy. It's not because Paul said, I'm not a wild guy. He says, I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. He was talking about preaching the gospel. Go to verse 27, sorry. Christ in you, the hope of glory, to whom God also is pleased to, blah, 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 which is Christ within you and among you, the hope of realizing the glory. Verse 28. Him we preach and proclaim. He says, I'm preaching and proclaiming him, warning and admonishing everyone and instructing everyone in all wisdom. Then he says, next verse. For this preaching, for this message, for this work that I've been called to do, I also labor unto weariness. I labor unto weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy, which he so mightily enkindles and works within me. Only he can work it within me. Holy Ghost, work in me. Make me a good preacher. Help me do the work I'm supposed to do. Yeah. Without you, I cannot. And that's the truth. If you have been in ministry small, you see that, hey, that thing, that's why by strength shall no man prevail. Yeah. It's not on the floor at all. And not from cry. You see Bishop Doug going like every day, something. Hey, you think it's normal? the working that is working in him, Noe. Remember, he said that the Holy Spirit showed him a vision. He had batteries, three power batteries. There's power here. Power cables. There's power here, I tell you. There's power here. Yeah. There's power that is working in you to cause you to do the responsibility. So responsibility is just responding to the ability that is inside. Recognize the fact that the Holy Ghost is inside me. He has given me the strength, the wisdom, the power. He's working in me, producing the power and the energy, making me effective, making me effectual, making me love what is going on. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for working in me. And then you stand up and go. That's all. And you'll be surprised at the results you produce. You will come back with testimonies. You will come back with people following you. Yeah. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. He was sent with the Spirit. We cannot be sent any other way. There's no other way. So it's a fact that you must remember. Before you step out, dear Holy Ghost, do it. Work in me. Make me willing. Give me desire to do what you want done. Let me work according to your perfect will and bring the sheaves that you want me to bring in. Amen, in Jesus' name. Rise up upon your feet and thank God for what he has shared with you. Next time when I come, I'll control the five. Hallelujah. Or maybe tonight we should go into the five. Let's change it. Let's change the subject. Yes, what the Holy Spirit says. Hallelujah. Thank him for what he has shared with you.
Thank you so much, Holy Spirit.
Thank the Lord for
speaking to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Without you, I cannot do anything.
Without you, we can't do anything, Holy Spirit.
I recognize. You're working in me. Tell the Lord you recognize he's working in you. And tell him to work in you more and more. To see, he worked in Jesus to produce the fruits he produced. Tell him to work in you. Lord, work in me.
Work in me,
keep
Holy
working
Spirit.
In me.
Keep working
to produce
in
the results, the fruits you want me to produce. Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I count on you, Lord. I count on you, Lord. Maragada, Mande Heshekelebe. Mande Heshekeleba, Balo Dalabai. Mendo Shalaba, Beregide. Mando Hosebi Barade. Mendo Oshana Mande. Lande Ikalabara, Lende Debara.
Holy Spirit, work in me. Work in me.
Mendo Shalaba,
Kilora.
Mande Ika, Balo Dalabai. Mando Oshana whenever you love the Lord and you want to do his work, but whenever you try to do the work of the Lord, you fall ill. You become ill. Whenever you attempt to do, whenever it's time to go on evangelism, whenever it's time to gather, whenever it's time to do something that you really want to do, you just find yourself falling ill. Come and let me pray for you. The Lord is releasing you from that. Yes. The Lord is freeing you. Yes. You become ill. You feel some weakness, a lot of weakness. You can't go. You can't go, even though you love the Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Receive strength to do what God wants to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Receive strength. The Lord is empowering you. from within. He's empowering you from within to accomplish his work. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it will never happen again. It will never happen again. The Lord is empowering you in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's empowering you from within. From within. You may take your seats. The Lord has delivered you. You are fine. Strength has come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Just speaking in English, speak for some time.
Roma Sodea Kabala Basoda and Alababa. Lipadi and no second.
Rapada
Basada. Lemani and no Sakataba. Ropalababa. Ropali and Eleve. Roka Baba Sadana. Lipadi and no Sakataba. Ropalababa Kabaya Eleve. Lipadi and no Satababa. Roka Payani and no Sedele. Lipadi Kalababa Satana. Ripado Padababa. Ripadi Balea Kosaba. Ripado Sedele.
I'm sensing something about the gift of the Spirit. You see, the gift of the Spirit. Some of you are here. You've been praying for the gift of the Spirit to manifest in your life. Listen, it will not show up unless you go out. It shows up when you go out. I was wondering whether I should pray for you, but the Lord says not to pray for you. The Lord says that as you go out, you will see what you will do. As you move out, as you take steps to go out. The gifts of prophecies that you can sense, you know that it is there, but it doesn't show up. As you move, you see it showing up. Yes. God will open your eyes and God will open your ears. You will have word of knowledge flowing out of you like that. And you have word of wisdom flowing out of you like that. God is not, he's not wasteful. He doesn't waste things. He only does things that brings results. Yeah. So he will not just let it happen to you on your bed. How is it going to change anyone? Jesus came preaching, teaching, and healing. These are the three most important things that must happen after a message or after an encounter with the Lord has happened. Healing is at the end of the day, someone's mind must be healed, someone's heart must be healed, someone's depression must go, something must happen. It's not revealed on your bed for nothing. It must bring healing to someone. And it will only happen as you go. The Lord confirmed their words as they went. So the Lord is telling me to advise you, tell you, go, move, take a move, make a move. Don't be afraid. Make a move. And as you make a move, he will answer you. And he'll be there and show God himself. Healings will proceed out of you. And many lives will change to the glory of God the Father. Even in Jesus' name.